The story feels eerily familiar. First one victim speaks up, then another, then many more tell of the sexual abuse of young people, at first ignored and later warnings which went unheeded. What at first seemed to be the story of a single abuser has developed into one which reflects a much wider problem. The front page of the Daily Mirror today has 10 questions the FA must answer. We would have liked to put some of those questions to the Football Association, but they have chosen not to come on the programme. I've been speaking to Richard Caborn, who was sports minister between 2001 and 2007, and asked him if the FA were warned in the past and had the opportunity to do more.
I think there were real concerns, Nick, around at the time. In fact, in 2001, when I became sports minister, it was definitely in my entree. I met officials from the NSPCC at that time, and there was a number of sports, not just football, a number of sports for which there was real concerns about the protection of young people. And in fact, they set up their unit, their child protection in sports unit, in late 2001. But we've been able to put into place now education. There was a few of the governing bodies of sport, and it had real systems in place where they could protect the young people, indeed educate the coaches and the like.
And many years ago, you argued for a helpline, a whistleblowing line, if you like, to be set up. But again, that was not done straight away, was it?
Oh, that's true, because I think that's around football that we were pressing very hard that there be an independent players' education and development trust, and that was to give young players from the age of 8 to 16 with inside the game of football a structure that would be able to advise them. Many of these young people, youngsters who are coming into football, all think they're going to be David Beckhams, and indeed, you know, have little or no advice, independent advice. They're left to some extent at the mercies of either the agent or the clubs.
That's precisely where they're more vulnerable, isn't it, than young people perhaps in other situations. The money is so great, their future is so heavily controlled by their coach, that it is a very, very difficult thing to complain about someone who has your future in their hands.
Absolutely, and that was the real concern. That's why we had a meeting some years ago now at Wembley with the FA. Trevor Brooking was there, league managers, Howard Wilkins, and the Premier League were there, the PFA were there, and I think most people agreed that something ought to be put in place within the football family, an independent organisation, but nothing's been done. And in fact, even as late as early this year, we were putting those proposals to football again. I hope that the FA now will take this very seriously, particularly the young people below the age of 16, who are very vulnerable, and indeed advice to their parents as well, as to whether the profession of football is one that they really ought to pursue.
So is this review that's been set up by the FA adequate? Because some people say the word review is a bit of a giveaway. It is not a full-blown inquiry.
Well, I think I don't know exactly what the terms of reference are, Nick, but I mean, you know, when you saw Andy Woodward and his colleagues on television the other day, you know, it's absolutely disgraceful what's going on. Those players are really troubled, even today, by what actions were taken within the profession of football. Now, it may be inquiring specifically into that. I hope that they will have a wider inquiry about, is it fit for purpose on the advisory service for youngsters coming into football, particularly in this age group that I refer to, the 8 to 16. There is nothing there other than agents and clubs, nothing independent, and that's really what ought to be addressed.
Just finally, Richard, do you believe that people can now say, well, look, there were problems in the past, but we've acted, or do you think that would be a complacent view?
Well, you've always got to be careful of complacency, Nick, as you well know, but I think the NSPCC working with the governing bodies of sport, and I say that because there was a cross as well, I think that parents can be feel reassured that when their youngsters are going into sport, in any of them now, where they've got the NSPCC coverage through that child protection unit, I think they can feel safe.
Richard Caborn, thank you for joining us. Listening to that, Damien Collins, he's the chair of the Culture, Media and Sports Select Committee in the House of Commons. Do you believe it is time now, Mr. Collins, for a wider inquiry?
Yes, I think the announcement that the FA has made is a step in the right direction. But this internal review needs to go much wider. They need to make it clear that this is a full investigation. The person leading it can take it in whatever direction they want, that anyone in football who is called as a witness is compelled to give evidence. I think crucially as well that it shouldn't just investigate individual allegations made in the past, but ask the question, should people in football have known more? Was it reasonable that they could have known more, should have done more at the time? And are there problems with the whole culture within football that meant this problem went undetected and unresolved for so long.
Some may argue that given that Barry Bennell has been in prison for an awfully long time, that there isn't much value in rooting through the past, particularly if what you need to put your energies into is the processes that occur now to protect young people.
I think there's more serious questions for football, and why it's right they have a proper internal investigation on this, are that we've seen allegations that clubs paid off players to keep quiet. You know, people have come forward saying that people within their club knew that they made complaints and they weren't acted on. The people at the FA knew and therefore what did the FA do with the evidence they were given? I think too often, particularly in football, where independent investigations are launched, they often have very narrow terms of reference and their findings are kept private. They're never fully published. And in this case, I think we need a wide-ranging investigation led by someone who's independent from the football authorities and who can publish their report in full. I think a good sort of comparison model for this is Dame Janet Smith's review that was commissioned by the BBC Trust, looking at Jimmy Savile and Stuart Hall in the BBC, which looked at not just individual allegations, but also the culture within the organisation as well.
So are you anxious that the FA, the Football Association, may be dragging their feet?
Well, I think they need to. I think they should have been quicker up the blocks in announcing this investigation and review. I think they need to make clear now that the terms of reference for this review they've announced go wider than just looking at some of the specific allegations that have come up, and crucially that the report will be published. Now, they may say, well, there's a police investigation, you know, we can't prejudice that. Quite so, but Dame Janet Smith's review was compiled in parallel to a police investigation and she got the permission of the Metropolitan Police to publish it. I can't see why the FA can't do the same.
Damien Collins, thank you for joining us.